cynical
says blue. The man in a robe.
Yeah.
Shut up, Justin.
Bring it, Susan.
I'll bring it.
Oh, oh,
whoa.
Whoa.
Disco.
Wow.
Take your time.
Our pre-show used to be better than this.
Ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for tonight's Comic Books Club. And now, here are hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Albert!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club with Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our Bat of the Booth booth
bat. Boom!
The toughest game!
Exciting. Past weekend was 4th of July. How did everything go for everybody? What'd you guys do? Anything comic book related?
Nope. I was hungover. Is that?
No, that's not comic book related. Pete, what about you?
I lit Captain America's corpse on fire.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's really horrifying. Yeah, effigy.
Oh,
cool. Well, isn't that where...
Where'd you get that, by the way? Are you sure that was
Captain America? I smashed some flags in honor of Flag Smasher.
Okay. That's the opposite, anti-patriotic.
Oh, right. Now that's racist.
Cool. Yeah. Not racist. America.
Hey, guys, good bit.
Yeah, well planned out bit.
This is how we are.
Yeah, this is awesome. Guys, we have an amazing show for you, way better than this opening bit. Let's welcome our guests out. What?
Go.
From Geek Nerd Blood, Anna and Dave! So let's talk about Geek Nerd. Tell, for those in the crowd who don't know, tell us a little bit about the blog and what you guys do.
Well, the blog was started basically to expel some of like the really nerdy and geeky things that were taking up my thought process and interfering with like important things like making money and keeping relationships together. So, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, which one is the geek and which one's the nerd?
Actually, I'm the geek and he's the nerd.
Yeah.
Little known fact.
Well,
I
mean, a lot of people debate this, actually. What's the difference between a geek and a nerd?
We just had this debate a while ago, like 2 weeks ago.
And we didn't reach a conclusion.
No, we had not. It's still open.
Time to go.
Shouting.
It was one of the more heated debates we've had.
Probably. That and time travel are the two probably the biggest.
Naturally.
I don't know. I mean, okay.
Naturally.
I think the consensus we kind of reached is that most anybody could be a geek about any particular subject. Like, you can geek out about film, you could be a film geek, you could be a music geek, you could be...
You can geek out about sports, I would argue.
Yeah.
Which might, you know...
Yep. You can geek out about it, but it doesn't make you geek me.
You might not want to admit they're geeks,
right.
But I think there are sports geeks.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Can you jock out about things?
That's a good question.
That's a
I think that would
question.
Involve a lot more like arm punching.
And that's right.
So a geek is somebody who gets excited about stuff, and a nerd would be...
Yeah, what is
that? Okay, well, I think we didn't reach a consensus, but I think it's someone who's more 100% engrossed in geeky activities. Whether, like, a typical example could be, you know, like a NASA scientist who literally spends all day writing algorithms. That's pretty nerdy. He lives his life in a nerdy pursuit. But I think it's also anybody who is a geek and geeks out about something but doesn't let that thing stay in a particular part of his life, or her life, sorry, and it like basically consumes the, like, I don't have a nerdy profession, but, you know, my geeky love, like, consumes me. And there isn't a moment of the day where I'm not thinking something nerdy. There really isn't.
Not one moment?
Okay, maybe like a 2-minute stretch.
But, like, what do you think about that?
Sex. But you know what? Even the sex is probably it's like a
sexy
or something.
Yeah.
It's gonna be
it's
brought
like
down to
Darth Vader.
Wow.
Yes.
With Darth Vader.
Well, really? That's your best character. Really? Your go-to sex character?
That's
Star Wars?
What it's like. It's like sexy Darth Vader.
There's a new
one arm, one leg.
Yeah. Well, there's a new thing. People are trying. trying to do the sexy stormtrooper, and it doesn't work. There's a.
I don't know if it doesn't work.
Okay. All right. There's the blog of a girl in the bikini wearing the mask. That's kind of like half-assing it. Like that's not
hey,
in a battle. In a battle, she'd be used.
Oh.
Exactly. But there are people that made like bustier, you know, stormtrooper uniforms. It's half there. It's like a.
You don't want like the stupid sexy nurse stormtrooper thing. You don't want just like you know. Like two pieces of the segmented armor.
I'm just saying it's something hard to achieve, but people are trying to achieve it, and I respect them for it.
Yep.
All right. Well, we were talking a little bit backstage, and you guys were saying that one of the big things on the blog right now is the robo-apocalypse, the coming robo-apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Very serious.
Okay. Yeah, I think in general we're really interested in like the various ways the world might come to an end. And yeah,
cool.
I mean, and it's been very focused on zombies lately,
yeah.
Which is kind of like it's kind of a trendy thing. So maybe we've been trying to move.
I don't know if you guys know, but zombies aren't robots.
That's what we're moving past.
Okay.
No,
yeah.
Oh man,
right.
We get zombie robots that I think witches are a fuck.
No,
this is nothing we can do.
Yeah.
Robots.
Yeah.
Are there zombie robots? I don't know
what
would
a zombie
be
robot
undead.
Do?
I have no idea.
You
how would they get to work?
Because the robots aren't alive.
Cyborgs.
They can't be undead.
Right.
My head's
zombie cyborg robots.
I think Deathlock
is you know what?
A zombie
you know what?
Robot.
Ah, that's
is?
True.
Deathlock
is true. Deathlock is...
He's more like half.
He's an undead robot.
Yeah.
He didn't hunger for brains.
You know what?
Geeky thing to know.
The board.
I think you actually
the
drunk or something. I don't know.
Is that why it's a nerd?
But yeah, robot apocalypse is scary because right now somebody invented... a robot that actually feeds off of the lifeblood of living things.
Oh boy!
And that's not good.
Why would someone make that?
That's
what's
that's
the
like,
use of
it? You know, like, it wasn't even like the sort of scientists that you see in like the Terminator movies who are like, you know, we have to push science further. It was just two artists.
Yeah, it's
in,
makes
in
it more
UK.
Trashy.
That's what's
artists.
Sad. I
yeah.
know, right? It's like, why? That's the sort of thing.
What
that
do you mean, see artists?
I've always been opposed to artists, any kind.
What? What about comic book artists?
Huh? Yep, secretly.
Is this whole show just like an infiltration somehow to
yeah we're trying to we get him on the show and we're like hey great show
yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I've never seen to you against
in case that wasn't clear I was holding their hair
shutting
their neck
yeah. Oh, oh I thought you were combing their hair or something
it
you
was
were.
My first mind class was yesterday.
It has improved though.
Thank you. Hey check it out, I'm in a box.
That must be graduation. You're swimming, I think.
Wait, check out my rope.
I'm on a ladder. I don't think you know much about the physical world.
You know what a ladder is.
Yeah, that's super.
It was the first button. All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next session, which we like to call the stack. Captain America Reborn, number one. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the Captain America books, but Captain America has been dead for the past couple of years. In case you couldn't tell from the
watched
title.
CNN.
But,
yeah, I watched CNN. I know.
Yeah,
we read the
yeah.
Paper.
This series, spoiler, I guess, is bringing him back to life in the Marvel Universe.
The title is a spoiler.
Yeah, I know. So what did you guys think about this book?
Well, I just start off by saying Brubaker has been doing amazing things with this book, Why Captain America Was Gone. And I hoped when he would bring him back and it would be in an amazing way. And I hope that it, something...
Like a time travel gun, is what you were
no,
going to say.
No, I'm not going to say. I'm disappointed that he's Captain America is stuck in a memory loop.
I kind of like that, actually. You know,
really?
When it opened up with him in World War II, you know, it's... I feel like I've seen this opening panel so many times in Captain America, and I was like, Jesus Christ, why are we doing this again? And then by the end, when they're like, you know, he's actually back there. I think that's really cool, and I think that's kind of hilarious.
Basically,
yeah,
to actually
like,
spoil
what's happening
it a little
to Batman
bit.
Right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, which is a little unfortunate. Just to spoil the book a little bit for you guys, in case you haven't been able to catch on, through a complicated plan, essentially... Steve Rogers has become, and they literally say this in the book, unstuck in time. For those of you who haven't read Slaughterhouse-Five, there's a phrase in Slaughterhouse-Five, Billy Crookham has become unstuck in time. Yes, exactly. The other thing...
Read a book.
No, yeah, if you take nothing away from the show, read a book. The other thing that's going on is Steve Rogers' former girlfriend is referred to several times as his constant. So this is my big criticism with the book. I thought it was well-written, it's well-drawn, it's a lot of fun. But you kind of can't do that. You can't have, so like, oh, you know
Lost.
What? Yeah, what would be a great idea is let's do how they do time travel in Lost, and let's do how they did time travel in Slaughterhouse-Five. It's weird.
So you're saying watch TV and read books is what you're saying.
It's a real weird message.
He
changed it. He took his mind class.
I
didn't read it. Wait, so he's actually like so his love is bringing him back to the right time.
Well, you potentially that's the
way. So that's basically like all of like mid-90s Flash, because that's pretty much what the entire, like, you know, he loved Linda West and that brought him back when he was lost or unstuck in time.
Yeah.
So.
But when
wait,
goes,
so are you saying it's all bullshit?
I'm saying it's 15 years
Jesus
too late.
Christ.
Ooh. Hey, Boothman, can you turn on the bug zapper, please?
That's really good. Well, what I think is crazy
it's like a
is...
a siren song. Just take the bugs away.
Yeah. What I think is crazy is that the Red Skull's plan then was to do all this terrible shit to everybody, then shoot him with a time gun, and then just sit back and be like, eh. We'll see. That's the way it is. It's like, we shot him in the time, but then he vanished. And then it's like, I'm in a robot.
That, his plan was to bring Captain America back to life after he killed him, and then he failed at his plan.
That's what I think Ed Brubaker's going to have some tricks to do when he's like, when the Red Skull is like explaining everything to everybody there. That's going to be where he goes.
His villain wrap-up speech will be kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Exactly. And everybody will be sort of like shiftily looking around.
Yeah.
All right, good plan. Would you say pick it up?
Yeah, it's good. Nope. I mean,
wow.
Shoot from the hip over here.
What? It's not good.
You?
Wow.
Well, it may be good.
No, it's good. It's good. It's just...
But you just don't like what? You
don't like the fact that he's stuck in a memory loop, reliving his memories, going, this is weird, I already did this.
Oh. Here.
Why is that a great...
Well, you don't know what's going to happen. Did UG just showed up there?
This relates to our...
No, he's been there for a year or so.
Yeah, I know, but we don't
know
it.
I have an important question about this.
Yes.
Did he die in these past things? You know what I mean? Now that he's jumping back and forth in time, can he be killed when he's, you know, inhabiting his past self?
Well, that's the thing, because in the back of the book, he's like, he shows up, and Bucky's like, Cap, pay attention. You just got almost killed.
Yes.
He's like, what? Where? I'm in the past.
Yeah.
So, potentially,
he
may be able to.
Dave would say that he can't. Because
I think time is concrete. Yeah. She thinks it's all willy-nilly. Yeah.
You too.
Well, I think there's trauma.
Parallel universe.
Yeah.
Great. All right. I would also say pick it up. Let's move on and talk about Justice League: Cry for Justice, number one. This miniseries has been a long time coming, written by James Robinson. Basically, it was supposed to be an additional series, but then they ended up being a miniseries. Here's how I can sum up this book for you. If you read the title of the book, I think you have a pretty fair idea of what's going to happen in the book. Because there's a lot of people crying, there's a lot of people yelling, JUSTICE!
You don't even need the middle word of the title. It should just be Cry Justice. Because that's what happens over and over again.
Yeah.
Say Justice.
This is pretty terrible. What did you guys think?
Yeah. I was more like Cry Justin when I read this.
Nice.
That's for the because I've been
you're gonna put on the cover more like Cry Justice.
No, for like a rival book.
Oh.
It's a complicated system.
Generally, comic books will slag off other comic books.
In my world, yes.
At least the art's nice.
No, I didn't even like the art. Art's all
what?
Sketchy and
it's.
When
it's
they draw
to be arty, it's the kind.
It's,
I mean, it's
different.
It's good, but
why
it's
not?
When they draw Starman, Blue Starman, he's like, he's walking like all crunched up.
No,
like,
he's doing an obnoxious superhero pose, which you can't have a splash page without them being like.
Yeah.
He's like walking like this away from explosion. You know, it's
it's epic. He looks stupid.
Okay,
I've been looking forward to this book forever, and James Robinson fucked it up. Okay,
he did have a nice throwback to his Starman series.
I know it, which I love.
Yes, that one page. Made me smile.
Me too.
It's like, oh, that's his.
Yeah, but that one page worked all the other crying.
It didn't actually make
for
you smile. It made me sad. Yeah, it was made you cry.
Yeah.
For justice.
That's a successful book. Cry for quality. I like the character choices, though. I like Green Lantern, Green Arrow. I like the two Atoms. I like Blue Storm Man.
There was a, yeah.
When
they
got to the gorilla, I was like,
Congo
yeah.
Gorilla? Yeah, I don't know about Congo
Gorilla.
Like
nobody except Grant Morrison should be allowed to pull that kind of thing, you know? It's like ridiculous character and trying to make him serious.
It's a talking golden gorilla who
yeah.
is like, no, my human body died.
And it's horrible.
Like,
it's
Congo
two
Bill.
Page of horrible gorilla carnage.
Yeah, it's
and
really bad
what?
Gorilla carnage.
What?
Yeah. And it's got a crying gorilla. Doesn't
Freedom Beast also die?
Yeah, Freedom
yeah.
Beast dies too.
Yeah, which is also a terrible character.
Terrible death form.
And
too,
we have naked being held by the giant yellow gorilla.
I will say,
kind of
I'd love to die naked in the giant gorilla's arms.
Yeah.
That'd be a story. How would you get there? How would you get there?
Yeah, we have the prequel for this, is really what you want to read.
Yeah, exactly. no insult.
Yeah, just don't touch me.
That's really quite critical. Don't pick up. Let's move on. Talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number 26.
Did you read this?
I did an entire post just about all of the fun Easter eggs in this book this week.
I know that. tell me why you like this.
Why I like this issue?
Yes.
Because it was just like a really fanny book. It's like all of the characters.
Wait, did you say fanny book?
That's what we thought too.
What does that mean, fanny book?
It's, you know,
for the fans.
Oh! I was
but,
like, fanny pack.
What is your mind go?
Like someone really wrote it out their asshole.
No.
That's what I would call it, a fanny book.
Yeah, Buffy sucks lately.
I agree
horrible.
With that. I
it shouldn't even have Jasmine's name on the side. It's ridiculous.
James Benson, she's great. Look, I agree that Buffy has sucked lately.
Yes.
I thought this book was super fun. Just because, you know, nothing happens in it, but that's fine. Everybody, you know, hangs out. They start off with this really hilarious thing about how Willow always carries Buffy, but it's a favorite
that was
part.
Cool,
yeah. Come on, it's funny stuff.
This is my I am a huge fan of Buffy, so it's killing me a little bit. That's my problem with it, is that it started out, the first 10 issues or so were incredible,
good, yeah.
excellently
yeah.
done. Great plot, really exciting across the board, really fun, really cool.
Yeah.
And then it has just become kind of fan service, like, oh, we got to get this character in, we got to get this character in.
Yeah.
Let's bring them back. And it's treading its wheels for so long, and I feel like maybe at the end of the season it'll come back together, but right now nothing is going on at all.
I think that's been a problem with almost the entire series. They, you know what, the only new interesting character they've introduced this entire time was in the second arc, which was that girl who, you know, Faith, spoiler, killed. The evil British
right.
Slayer chick. That was literally, I think, the only new character that's been introduced.
Right.
Everyone else is from the series, and they're not doing anything interesting with any of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I haven't enjoyed the book this much in a while. So I'm just sort of taking the fun where I can get it.
Sure. I just liked it because she saw the Mark Echo Boba Fett hoodie.
Oh, yeah. Come on, that's cool. Don't you see that at every single con? And it's in the book,
too.
I was excited
by that.
I was, yeah. I mean, it just, it's reference humor, you know, take it or leave it. That's what it is.
I don't know. When they do the joke about the bones, they're fighting with bones, and they're like, this will be humorous. He's like, that's a femur! Smash!
Come on.
Like,
how can you hate puns about hitting
people
with bones?
Bone puns? Make another bone. Over the course of the show, someone make a bone pun. We'll
yeah.
see how it plays.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Justin might kneecap you.
I think that's a fatal threat. Yeah.
Justin might slit your throat. Let's move on and talk about Fantastic Four, number 568.
All the bones on this one, too.
It's Khmer Rouge.
This is also terrible, though. This is why I hate Mark Miller. It's just stupid.
You hate him so much you won't even pronounce his name right.
Well, everyone says
wow.
it's Miller, though, isn't it?
Is it
Miller? Mark.
No, it's spelled that way, but it's said Miller.
Is that right?
I'm
going to believe you.
Yeah, I think it's actually Miller. For those of you who haven't been reading the series, Marquis of Death?
Yeah.
The Marquis of Death is threatening the Fantastic Four, and he's so badass that he destroyed Latveria, where Dr. Doom lives, and sent Dr. Doom back in time to be eaten by dinosaurs. That's how badass he is.
And it's going to bite him in the ass, I bet you.
I doubt it.
Come back riding a dinosaur.
Yeah, and this entire issue is essentially the Marquis of Death being like, I'm going to destroy you, Fantastic Four.
He looks so ridiculous and unthreatening.
Yeah,
like that, because he's basically like one of those dancing skeletons you see in the cartoon.
He's so emaciated, but he's naked, and he's got like a bump where he's...
penis would be.
Yeah,
and his mask all fucked up, huh?
It does nothing. They can't.
And in the entire issue,
so
he's
weird.
Threatening the Fantastic Four, and Reed Richards is like, "We'll stop you because that's what heroes do." And he's like, "I don't think you will stop me." And then Reed Richards is like, "No, but we will because we're heroes." And he's like, "No, you won't." For 32 pages.
That is what happens. And then at the end, he's just like, "Well, here's my plan." And then 100 different Fantastic Fours run at him.
Yeah.
And it's like,
is this the first? I haven't been following this particular Fantastic Four book. Is this the first time we've seen him in all of his like naked glory?
Yes, pretty much.
Really?
Yep. Yeah,
that's
he's
so
been
funny.
Shrouded. Other than that,
so he just introduces naked. Himself in this book by just
this is well, this is the other problem. This is a little bit of a bigger spoiler, I guess, for it. But the Marquis of Death is actually a character called Clyde Windham, who previously has not appeared at all in Fantastic Four. However, he appeared in another book called 1985, which was by Mark Miller, towards the end. We haven't really seen him since, and there's not supposed to be any connection, but Mark Miller is taking all of his books and connecting them together.
Yeah.
But I feel like you can't do that. You can't be like, aha, the big reveal is I'm this person you've never heard of before.
Yeah.
That's not good writing.
Well, also, it's pretty cheap to take another character from your other book and be like, he's more important than you know. You'll see. And like, we see him here. And plus, the Marquis of Death is a shitty name.
Well, yeah, it sounds like you should be hanging out in the Court of Death and, like, eating caviar of death.
Yeah, right. All the death stuff. I don't know. This is terrible. This has been such a lauded, built-up run, and the book has just gotten worse and worse.
The one thing I will say for it is Brian Hitch's art is great.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Really, really good. I wouldn't say necessarily worth picking it up for that, but, yeah, it's good.
Are we also to assume that he kills Ben Grimm's Aunt Petunia?
Yeah, but he's also a reality-altering villain. So
okay,
yeah.
But I mean, Aunt Petunia there looks like she's, like, 20. Like, I was always picturing, like, an Aunt May every time it says Aunt Petunia.
You were talking about two different people. You're talking about this girl? That's not Aunt
Petunia. No, later on.
Yeah,
it's like, my Aunt Petunia. And she's like, oh, really? Let's find out. And it's like, oh, it's some, like, hot 30-year-old. Let's kill her. Like, you know, it's how's that his aunt?
That's like the Aunt May syndrome. Sometimes they draw her looking pretty good too. Have you ever seen that?
No. Albert
knows what I'm talking about.
Whoa! Yeah, he does. Why do you know that?
That's about me in front of a whole room of people, right?
That's true.
It's cool.
You wrote it in the blog.
Hey, somebody's going to be the next up with that.
Yeah, that's a normal fetish, that. According to internet pornography.
Cool, let's move on and talk about Batman and Robin number 2 by Grant Morrison and
yes.
Frank Whiteley. This book is incredible.
Yes,
yeah. That's
it. I think we could. Does anybody disagree about that?
No.
Okay, good. What did you like about this book?
I would say the first thing that jumps out at me is the art. It's fantastic. And I also love the way they set up the panels, especially in fight sequences, kind of just making it so the fight it really just kind of jumps out at you. It's really fantastic. And it's cool. You would think with Batman gone that you're a little worried about the title, but it's the tension between Batman and Robin is just fantastic.
The way these guys work together is amazing. In the first book, I think there's the shot up of Batman and Robin flying, landing down.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, we see it from their perspective. So cool. And
yeah, it's great. For those of you who haven't been paying attention, Batman, Bruce Wayne is dead-ish. And Dick Grayson, who used to be Robin / Nightwing, has taken over the Batman mantle, and Damian Wayne, who is Batman's evil son, has taken over the Robin.
Sounds stupid.
I think it sounds pretty cool. The thing that's great about it is both Morrison and Quietly have found really different ways of portraying those characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been reading a lot of Bat books lately where it's Dick Grayson as Batman, but it's basically Bruce Wayne as Batman.
Yeah.
And here, both in drawing and in writing, it's very clear that Dick Grayson is Batman. He moves differently, he acts differently, but it's a different character than Nightwing, which is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about backstage and also recently on the blog, Batman, like, you don't realize how heavy Batman has been for the last, like, 20 years. Forever. I mean, he's a heavy guy. He's, like, a big tramp kind of guy.
Hulking.
And in this, seeing somebody wearing the Batsuit, like, flying across entire panels with just, like, this really kind of weightless grace.
I mean, this
man,
he's supporting himself with two fingers there.
Yeah.
He's leaping across the table on two fingers.
Yeah, I mean, this is, like, Acrobat
awesome,
Batman.
Right?
Acrobat,
it sounds painful.
Yeah.
Not a bone pun,
but we're getting there.
We're also, I've liked Frank Whiteley for a really long time, but I never once was blown away by him. And I think the reason he draws movement better than anybody. And like the last few books, is, you know, Authority and the All-Star Superman were amazing, but a lot of the drawing is all about how epic these characters are and how stationary they are. Like, Superman doesn't need to move, even if a bus is coming at him, it's Superman.
Yeah.
But now that he's working on the guy that, you know, flips around and jumps over tables, like, every single panel is, like, mind-blowing. Like, each of these could be his splash page.
I mean, you may like him now, but when him and his artist friends are making their blood robots, may not like him.
Very quickly to mention about this that I think is particularly cool. Grant Morrison is known for his big ideas and his big science and crazy stuff over the top. This is probably the most grounded thing I have ever read from him.
Yeah.
The first half of the issue is all about Dick Grayson being like, I can't be Batman, I can't do this, I can't pretend to be Bruce Wayne. And having a conversation with Alfred where it eventually ends up Alfred saying, look, you were in a circus when you were younger, you're a performer. Treat this as a role. Treat this as you are pretending to be the Batman. It's just really nice
and
really
it's
emotional.
It's great that he uses continuity without getting, like, he mentions in here how Dick Grayson used to be a cop in Bloodhaven, which I read Nightwing, I love that. Mm-hmm. He's referencing that, but then he doesn't go into some, like, one time he met this weird hobo who offered him a made-up drug that made him go crazy, and then that's what the next five arcs are about. It's just like, you were a cop. Let's move on to the rest of the story. Yeah. And that's great.
Wait, he was a hobo?
That's what I'm saying. That's the kind of what you want to ignore. Yes.
No. Okay, so Nightwing was a hobo.
He encountered a man as a cop.
Ah, okay.
He gave him a made-up drug that made him go crazy. You'll read about it. So it's a great book.
Yeah. I'll definitely pick that up. All right, let's move on to talk about Savage Dragon, number 150, 100 pages for the price of 32 or so. What do you guys think about that?
You guys go ahead,
because
I don't
know
either one of us.
Yeah, Savage Dragon has been doing really well in my book of late. Recently started
booking
my book. In my book of life and comics that I like.
The Bible?
No. Anyways, this has been really building up the Overlord. Who is the Overlord? How are we going to deal with the Overlord? And all that kind of stuff. So I feel like doing this big special was a fantastic idea, and I'm on board. I'm completely on board. They've really been doing a good job of setting things up and then coming through on it. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
So let me get this straight. This comic is still being made. Oh, okay. That's a good idea.
Although I think the covers still look like they were drawn in like 1992,
yeah.
Which I actually really respect.
Eric Larson one night his eyes went white and he drew 200 covers. And we're seeing them come out. It's great. It's amazing. He has to write the stories to go with the covers.
Yeah,
he does a pretty good job.
Man, I feel bad saying this now, but I actually like this issue a lot. I
hey, you know what? I read that Barak issue that where, you know, Barak meets Savage Dragon just because it had Barak in it. And I was like, wow, this book is so, like, silly and action-y and messed up. This is great. And somebody's just like, yeah, it's because it's just like a 90s book. That's what the 90s were like. But a little of that is awesome.
The one thing that I actually liked about this in particular, because I have felt like whenever we've tried to read Savage Dragon before, that it does feel like, oh my god, this is a book that happened in the 90s. This has a very cool structure to it, where it's filling in things that we missed in previous issues and bringing us up to the present where something rather shocking happens to the main character. So I thought it was cool. I think it's worth picking up.
Yeah, I don't know. If it's in the comic book stores, let's go find it. I don't know.
that's a bull quote right there. Let's talk about Greek Street number one.
Yeah.
This is a $1 issue, and generally what I've been saying to people, because a lot of people have been asking whether they should pick up this issue, is I was okay with it, but it's $1. So, you know, why not?
Who needs a dollar, right? We're all big deals.
Take your dollar, crumple it up, throw it in the face of the guy who works at the comic book store. Get fucking Greek Street and die.
That's how I buy all my comics. I'm like, I need this one. I need this one. It takes me like 3 hours. For some reason, they really dread me coming in.
What did you guys think about this issue?
It was a cool idea. It was,
what
it was
is
a
the
fun
idea?
It's like Fables, but Greek myths.
I read it.
Huh?
Really?
Yeah, it's essentially, it's a little unclear, and that's my big problem with it, but it's the Greek myths. I think the idea is that the myths are eternal, so they happened before, they're going to happen again, they're starting to happen
right
in our current time. So, for example, instead of Oedipus Rex,
there's a guy named Eddie who fucks his own mother.
Hey-o!
No, that wasn't really a hey-o. And it's presented right at the top of the issue, and the weird... I like Greek myths, don't get me wrong. But this
I like motherfuckers.
Well,
I like hearing your story.
I mean, like, it's fun. Y'all enjoy it.
The
thing about Oedipus Rex is he doesn't know it's his mother. This one,
yeah.
It's a kid named Eddie who comes into a bar, knows this person is his mother. He's like, do you recognize me? She's like, no, I don't. Let's go back to my place. And he's like, they get back to her place, and he's like, really, do you recognize me at all? She's like, no, let's have some drinks. And then the next morning after they have sex, be like, do you recognize me now? And she's like, no, why? He's like, well, because I'm your son. And then she's like, oh my God, falls backwards and dies.
Yeah. Right. Really how it happens. Yeah, you have less sympathy for
I
him.
Mean, would anybody do that?
Well,
she
I
didn't recognize me.
Right. Tough plan. Tough
He's like, I was just waiting for you to say something.
You didn't say it. I actually avoided this book because I was going with a family vacation this weekend, and I picked it up in the store. It's like, that's a whole lot of boobies, and I don't know if it's worth it. And I didn't want to have my parents' friends hug around like, what are you reading? You're like, nothing.
Let's see your funny books.
There's a lot.
If your mother didn't say anything about it, it would have been okay.
Nice. The art is actually very good.
It's way worth more than a dollar. But the story, I just thought was...
They're really coy with what kind of the thesis of the book is. And I think they're trying to get you to pick up the next issue, which will cost more.
Right. I'm also driven a little crazy. This is a personal problem I have in mind, where characters say things in this book like, it's beginning, and I really hate that when people do that, like, a storm is coming, or the tides are changing, or whatever. I feel like it's a very cliche thing.
The tides are changing! Get your surfboards!
I mean, I wouldn't have much of a problem with it if I said that. Pick it up, though?
Dollar.
It's a dollar.
Will do.
Apparently,
real,
the place
real
money
cheap.
All right, let's move on. Last thing we're going to talk about in the stack is Lock and Key Head Games.
Yes!
This has been one of our favorite series for a very long time. What do you guys think? This is the second miniseries tying up. How do you think it turned out?
The only complaint I have about it is there's not enough in this issue. I mean, there's so much crazy stuff happening in this world, and they decide to focus on a small part of it and do some cool flashbacks, which I enjoy, but knowing that's the last issue, I wanted so much more, so I was a little... I mean, it's a very small, nitpicky thing to say, and it's a great thing to say out of a comic, like, I want more, so...
Yeah. It is weird that the arc ends here, because the story that they've been focusing on really does continue, and the first arc ended, and it was like, that's all done, let's move on to something new.
Yeah,
so it's a little weird.
Completely.
When I got to the end, and I was like, story concluded, I was like, oh, really? I thought this was like maybe like, you know, part three in a five-part.
Yeah. The thing that they're not saying, which is a little weird that they aren't more specific about this, is there was the first miniseries, Lock and Key, which was incredible, and definitely go out and pick up. Then this one, they're writing, I think, 24 issues that are split up into six-issue arcs, and they're all part of a larger 24-issue story. So it doesn't really end there, but it does... imply that, well, that's the end of that story, never going to see these characters again.
Well, I think you were saying this one focused on the characters are keep encountering these keys, which do weird things, and this is the end of this key story, and the next one's going to be a new key, which does something weirder. But I, all those complaints aside, it's a great book,
it's
definitely worth picking up. It's one of the best, it's
Gabriel
on par with Batman and Robin number two.
Gabriel Rodriguez's art in every single issue does something new that I've never seen in comics before. And I think the other thing that's really cool about it is there's a lot of horror comics out there, but it's actually scary. There are things that actually build suspense through the battles. It's wonderful. Pick it up.
Yeah.
Cool. And that's it for the stack! It is time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out Boothman!
Yeah!
And for those of you who are new to the show, Boothman lives in the booth.
Yeah.
And he's very ambivalent about it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a razor, apparently.
No.
Certainly not.
Jesus.
Who needs this?
Yeah. I live in a booth. All right. What is the geekiest thing you are embarrassed you know everything about?
Oh, interesting. Wow, so much to choose from.
Comics, I don't know. That's a terrible
There's this more specific way of answering that question, though.
Geekiest thing that you know the most about?
I mean, part of my whole, I never feel like I know enough about anything, so I don't know. I guess
so. Ignorance.
I know it's sad. I guess mid-90s impulse. I really got it. And I also know an awful lot about the mid-90s League of Superheroes. Basically, yes, mid-90s DC Comics. I got you covered.
I'm there with you. All right. I don't know much about it as you maybe.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
All right, we'll choose one.
I know. I can recognize every character in a George Perez Legion of Superheroes splash page, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Saying that as an answer to this question is impressive. That's
I know a lot about like the first like 5 seasons of the Pokemon cartoon show.
Wow, that's awesome!
Yeah,
I know a lot.
I think maybe Tasha Yar.
Ooh,
I see.
Character from Star Trek: The Next Generation.
What more do you know about her?
No, I don't know more about you guys.
Where are you going? What are you afraid of? Where are you going?
Pull the rope out.
Wow, finally ratted you away from the
No, I mean, I once got in a 2-hour conversation about the continuity of Tasha Yar and Star Trek: The Next Generation.
It's a shitty time.
Do you go into the expanded universe? Do you read the books about Tasha Yar?
No, I'm not like a big fan. Not to that fan site, I'm not that good.
Books are good.
Justin.
The 90s Nickelodeon show, Hey Dude.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's like, cool.
It's pretty cool. It's
no,
like
no,
that's 90s retro nostalgia cool. Which
what about
is now
Avatar?
Avatar. I watched every episode of Avatar a couple times. That's great. But Hey Dude.
That's a good show.
That scary
hey,
episode with the horror episode. I remember being
the what?
The horror. Yes, I had trouble pronouncing that word.
That's not a good word to mispronounce.
Yeah. The scary episode with like the escaped convict and the tunneler. That
yeah.
still haunts
well,
me.
The one that I always remember
scary.
Is they make up a fake person who's a new ranch hand because they're trying to trick Mr. Ernst. And they do this thing where they need him to stay in his office. So they give him 2 round fish bowls. And he's still, I don't know who wrote this episode, but he's holding these 2 fish bowls and he can't turn the doorknob.
Yeah.
And then it was crazy. And it's this weird show. Also, The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, that's
yeah.
a good one.
Probably one of my favorite TV shows of all time. I'm right
you're
there.
Dirty. Pete.
It's dirty.
I'm trying to come up with something.
It must be very hard for you.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to think. I don't have a lot of knowledge to begin with, so it's kind of tough.
Tying your shoelaces.
Thank you.
You're really good at that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I was...
What about the second Punisher movie?
Oh, yeah.
The Thomas Jane one that you saw in the theater 3 times?
Yeah. Yeah, yes, I'm sure. But I mean, I'm trying to think. I've watched
you
a lot
more
of like
about that than anybody but Thomas Jane.
I don't know. I would
we
say
never every day of shooting. So
I watched. I really got into the gummy bears and the snorks. But I'm trying to think. I even watched Jem.
Love Jem.
I thought you were big into She-Ra. I
yeah,
really like
yeah. I love trying to find the little purple guy.
Oh,
yeah.
Purple
guy.
Wow. Cool. Well, raise your hand if you ask a question. Pete is going to bring you a prize. Let's get the next question.
You have all the prizes.
The Foundry closed shop recently. Do you think blogs are killing publishing?
The Comic Foundry?
Yeah, the Comic Foundry. Magazine.
I like the old Foundry.
Steel
Duke.
I feel like most of our metallurgy has been replaced by blogs.
Yeah. That's where I get most of my metallurgical needs.
Yeah.
The blogosphere.
So do you think blogs are killing publishing, or are we in a new media paradigm? Paradigm.
Paradigm. What do you guys think? Are blogs killing printed media?
It's like, is the internet killing printed media? Yes. It's like, you know, it's scratch. I think yes.
All right, it's not killing it. It's changing it. It's never going to go away.
You'll be able to go away.
All right.
It's in large part.
Oh, definitely in large part. The thing's going to be hack and slash till it's next to nothing.
Great fun.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Featuring people.
Yeah. Anyway, But there will never be a day when, never, okay, when the zombies and the robots come, obviously then they'll stop printing New York Times.
Yeah,
but
they're mostly bloggers.
But I mean, it'll always be there because there's still, there will be people who, it'll become like a niche thing, if anything. But
back to zines?
Research journalism.
Cute.
It just kind of sucks because Comic Foundry was awesome. They did a lot of cool stuff that Wizard didn't cover and other magazines don't. But unfortunately, you can't search for a lot of the stuff and get it online. So,
Actually, just to be very clear for whoever asked the question, Comic Foundry did not get canceled or lose funds or anything like that. They actually stopped publishing because one of them moved to the two people who were running it. One of them moved to another state. The other one got a promotion during his day job, and they both decided they can't.
Working for another magazine.
Yes, exactly. So at that point, they just couldn't actually publish the magazine anymore. I do think there's a place for things like that. I don't think, even though there is all this talk about print is dead, I think there's going to be specialty print. I think this is essentially what you're saying. Will be alive, and I think something like a Comic Foundry, which had a very specific niche, as long as they can figure out the budgetary needs of that sort of thing, will do just fine, because it was providing something different than you can find in a blog. You can't get... Nobody's interested in reading page-long things on a blog. It's boring. Nobody sits for that. But in a magazine, you can sit and you can flip through it and you can read it.
What about the Kindles? You know what I'm saying?
I think the people just want to hear blogs are ruining our lives, right?
Yes.
Except for your guys.
Yeah. It's ruining our lives too, actually.
Except for you guys.
Well, that's so,
another
question.
Yeah, Richard, you're going to be present. Let's get to the next question.
Jane Austen or Charles Dickens?
Seriously?
Seriously? Like Jane Austen or Charles Dickens comics?
Yeah.
Or is it a
Which
Jane Austen
versus? Which one would be better
versus?
To have
zombies? Look, all the guys, the word.
Okay, so who are going to fight? Jane Austen or Charles
Dickens? She's no way. We got
I kind of missed. I've never been here before. I kind of missed.
Oh, you thought it was a book club? Boy, have you been enjoying the show. That's awesome. We never get that.
Would you be cool with who would win in a fight, Jane Austen or Charles Dickens?
What?
Yes. What do you guys say?
Jane Austen got zombies now.
Jane Austen does have an army of zombies at this point.
That's right.
I think that's been established.
Okay. But Dickens has like an army of, you know, like street urchins.
Yeah.
Like, wait, those guys are scrappy.
Oh, come on. Zombies against kids?
This is your new argument. Zombies versus kids.
You're
going
to have an army of zombie kids.
That's a 16 issue series for Boom.
Yeah. Real takedown there.
Nice. Yeah, I got you, Boom. I like Boom.
Nice. Dickens.
Yeah.
Dickens. Dickens, round three. He's a kidney puncher. Real asshole. Real asshole.
I would say Dickens because he always wants more.
Right.
Yeah. No. This is only for you, Miss. Well, actually, you should come around. He makes a lot of weird Dickens references in a weird, and terrible British accent. So you might actually like the show.
If you like terrible British accents, and you like A Christmas Carol. give that lady a question. And that's it for your audience question. It is time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
First thing we're going to talk about, hotly demanded. You fans have been asking for it, so it is going to be provided. If you remember Stephen Dorff's character, the vampire, the evil vampire from the first Blade movie, good news, everybody. There are going to be three prequel movies based on Stephen Dorff's vampire character.
Yes!
Blade movies.
Yes!
Wow. Yeah, that take place before the first Blade with no Blade in them.
Are they direct to DVD?
I have no idea.
Okay.
They would have to.
I know that Stephen Dorff is performing them at his house.
Yeah. anyone he's got locked in there.
It's the show after this one.
Yeah.
I'd rather see a prequel to Dorff on Golf. I can't believe this is. What is Stephen Dorff? What cachet does Stephen Dorff have in Hollywood? Where
he's in the Michael Mann movie right now.
Really?
Did you know that?
Right now.
Yeah.
Oh, so like in the background.
Not even. He's a gangster. He's gangster number three. Now this isn't their character, but he's in it a lot. And
what's
awesome.
The name? What's the name of Johnny Depp's character? Because I wanted to be like, go get him,
John Dillinger.
Wow.
Because the only gag she could think of was Johnny Dangerous.
Man, you gotta get out. You're
wow.
Good
you're good better Republican.
You're right inside.
Yeah.
That fits in your orphan thing.
Pretty much. Who's asking for this? Who do you think is going to go see this?
He I is.
Vampire.
No, that's not true.
Vampire people.
Is
vampire
that
no, so hot right now.
No,
yeah.
We won't do it. We won't
yeah,
do it. Seriously.
Who's
I'm going to stab myself in the eye and stab this one.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get vampires.
Wait a second,
so, weird punishment.
I'm not like Stephen Dorff's biggest fan.
I think maybe you are.
He's
only the secretary.
In this room, I certainly am. But, I mean, from here for Stephen Dorff and his vampire
well,
movie.
It's fair. He's an easy target.
It's just weird, but you'll be like, you'll be watching the first three movies and you'll be like, oh, that's why he got interested in being a blood god. And then you'll be like, oh, that's how he found out about how
that's where the line, all you motherfuckers are trying to ice skate uphill comes from. It's a whole thing. We're really answering a lot of the Blade questions. We have unanswered.
Right. The first movie, he'll be like, I'm going to get you, baby Blade.
Yeah.
Yeah, and baby Blade will be like,
we'll be like,
I don't think so.
It'll be a CG Blade. It'll be like the whole CG.
It's
going
to have to, he's looking much older.
Yeah,
no, young.
How
yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
That's the
like
that's
he's 40
the
now,
guy.
Right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, I think we can all agree it's going to be great. Let's move on. Next thing we are going to talk about very exciting news for you Venom fans. Venom is going to get a spin-off movie. This is all exciting news. Venom from Spider-Man 3, the way they did the character there, is going to be spun off into a new movie. The screenwriters have said that they very specifically have notated in the script a part for Stan Lee in the movie. What can that possibly be?
As I said earlier, Peter Parker.
It's just going to be a standard cameo, right? It's not going to, like, they're not going to make him.
I
don't
think
there's
going to be
like
anything else than that. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure they write him into every script. Like, the bus driver opens the door, and
yeah.
It's Stan Lee. Like, there, he's written into the script. I mean,
yeah.
You might say, welcome aboard, son. I
welcome
say,
aboard,
yeah.
Venom.
Excelsior. Later. Jerking to say, but I think those Stanley cameos are annoying.
What?
All
screw you,
no,
man.
He shows up.
I show some respect.
It's stupid. All the movies are stupid.
None of this shit would be here if it wasn't for him.
Fine. He has lived a nice life off Marvel.
Why
don't we see it in every movie?
Put the old guy in a couple movies. What's the big deal?
He's not an actor. He shows up and the movie stops. Everyone's like, and then it goes back.
So what?
So it's bad.
No,
movie.
If you're gonna argue in a higher pitched voice.
I
it's no fun.
Right. And that's it for Week in Geek. It is. Come on, that section, which is trivia. For that, we're gonna turn it over to Pete LePage.
This is a part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like the chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand. $25 free. Who would like an opportunity? And nudging guy, come on now.
What's your name?
My name is Albert.
Wait a minute. Co-editor Geek and Nerd. Dave took his place in a coup.
I beat him in single combat.
And I've actually done this trivia competition before.
Oh my
what?
God.
Sit down.
I didn't raise my hand.
Why not? He's got to take his wife at bay out for a night.
Yeah.
No, but last time I didn't know the answers to any of the questions, so I was really embarrassed.
Do you remember how you won, probably, though?
Yeah. Okay. Well. I'm going to explain it anyway, just so people can play along. How this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You're going to listen to all three possible answers, choose the correct one, and if you go 3 for 3,
has 20... Has it always been multiple choice?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Are you sure?
I remember it being a lot harder.
You must have been here at our very first show.
So today's trivia is on the Asian American Comic Con that's this weekend.
Woo!
Or AACC. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Blue Man.
What trivia is there on that?
Shh. Listen. In this weekend's Comic Con, who is not featured as a guest? Is it A, Greg Pak, B, Larry Hama, or is it C, Butt Cheeks McGee? So your choices are either A, Greg Pak, B, Larry Hama, or C, Butt Cheeks McGee.
You might be trying to trick me.
Yeah. No, I would not do that to you. That.
I'm gonna go with C.
Correct.
I would like to point out that's because Butt Cheeks is going to be at a different con.
How many questions are there?
There's three. So far, you're one for one. Don't get cocky. Here we go.
Also, don't be nervous though.
Which really cool panel is not going to happen at the AACE? Is it A, visual storytelling, B, the business of comics, or C, MacGyver and you?
C.
Correct! MacGyver and you will not be there. Almost happened, though.
That's where Butt Cheeks is going to be.
At the AACC, who will get the prestigious Kiyama Award? Is it going to be A, Bernard Chang, B, Larry Hama, or C, Judy Blume? Who will get it? Is it going to be A,
I switched it up on you.
Yeah, I did. Is it going to be A, Bernard Chang, or B, Larry, who I've mentioned twice as maybe a hint?
Larry Hama sounds like a yes!
Good. $25, sir. Yeah.
Music
right
now.
And good luck to Butt Cheeks this weekend.
It's a tough panel to lead.
Yeah, it's
were you.
Those fans, I do not envy him. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. What are you guys looking forward to, Pete?
I'm going to say No Hero number 6.
Any particular reason?
It's a crazy answer.
Why is that a crazy answer?
There's a lot of good comics coming.
There is a lot of good comics, but I figured you guys are going to also cover some of the other ones.
Yes, and why would you cover New
Year? Just because it's at a really kind of crazy point right now where I'm not sure where it's going to go, so I'm really excited.
Say hero or no hero?
No.
Well, a little PSA first. Because of 4th of July, there's no delay in comics, so you can go tomorrow to get comics. If anyone's worried.
We said that before when we said Wednesday being tomorrow.
Yeah, no, but some people were worried about that. Maybe, like, we're not on top of our game, and I want to say we are. So,
good. Thank you for specifying that and kind of.
Okay. I'm looking forward to Wednesday Comics.
Nice.
Very excited.
Oh, yeah. DC.
Also, Green Lantern, setting up the Blackest Night. And 1947, BPRD. Great team on that.
That's three comics. You're only supposed to pick one.
Who sets the rules?
We do.
Exactly.
There's three of us.
Very quickly, for those of you who don't know about Wednesday Comics, I will mention about that. The cool thing about it is DC is putting it out once a week, obviously on Wednesdays, and it's a newspaper size printed comics, one page each, in serial storytelling. So they'll feature a couple of pages, like one page of Superman, one page of Martian Manhunter. It's by a really top-tier team, so it's actually going to be a very cool, very neat thing.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Ms. Marvel number 41. I've been really enjoying this title a lot. Yeah, it's great.
I was like, oh, I should say Ms. Marvel, and I was like, these guys are going to, like, laugh me off
the stage. No, I really like it a lot. I think Brian Lee's doing a lot of cool stuff with the title, and it's always surprising every issue.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. I'm looking forward to Batman 688 because I don't know what it's going to be. I thought that Batman wasn't even happening, and it was just like Gotham Sirens and then Bat Detective. Who's in it?
It's Judd Winnick writing Batman, Dick Grayson Batman.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's Judd Winnick and Mark Bagley.
Yeah, that was very cool.
And Tony Daniel's going to be taking over that.
Right, for six issues.
I'm done with Tony Daniel.
Yeah, right.
I guess I'm not looking forward to that.
Oh!
I'm sorry, wasn't that good? I probably will still read it, though. Wednesday comics I'm looking forward to because Carl Kershaw was doing something earlier.
Yeah, there's a lot of great teams.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of really good teams.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Right.
There's a dip.
Wednesday comics I've been looking forward to a lot. Although I have to say, looking at these DC pages, it just brings it back to, I used to do data entry at Diamond Comics, and these codes just like haunted my dreams, and I'm glad
you
to see them again.
Do you see secret
again.
Things in them? Yes. Like looking at the Matrix?
I can read them, and you guys don't even know what's there. The secrets that lie within.
You
yeah, it's...
Share!
Oh, it's awful.
Is it like they're cursing people out?
You can't actually read them all out loud, or else you will, like, unleash the terrible ancient
demons.
The
comics would actually appear.
Right.
I mean, awesome. We can read them right.
Read them. Yeah.
Read them.
No.
Oh,
don't dare. This is terrible.
Oh, I also have to mention... Pride and Prejudice number 4 is coming out, so...
cool, and plug something in here, guys. Tell people where they can find the blog.
Geekanerdblog.com. We couldn't get geekanerd.com because somebody is throwing a LAN party there. And they probably have, like, 2 friends that go, and we don't like them.
He threw a LAN party last year.
He threw a LAN party last year, and he's still sitting on that domain.
Cool. We've actually had the same problem with Comic Book Club.
Really?
Much across the board. Which is why we basically have, JustinLovesPete.com.
I love people go there.
Yeah. I know I don't.
A couple of things to plug before we go. You can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub. And next week we're going to have Neil Clyde back on the show. He's going to be talking about his new graphic novel, Big Con. So that should be very cool.
I read the preview for that. It was great.
Yeah, it's awesome. And so we're going to be very excited to talk to you about it. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Otto for being here.